Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday, November 6th already. And my gosh, we're a week in, and today is one of those days that I honestly couldn't wait till Monday morning came. And I wanted to talk about this topic that just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And it sounds so simple. And it's not simple. It's so big and scary for us. But before I get started today, I did want to tell Paul Clark that I'm very, very sorry that Paul lost his mother on Friday afternoon at 2:30 in the afternoon, and it was her birthday the day before, and the last words he said to his mother were, "Happy birthday," and the next day she passed away, and he said, "Wow, you know, who could have written a better script, and who could have taken care of more, and, you know, just God bless you, your family. I am so sorry." I was in shock when we found out on November 4th. However, I feel different today. I feel okay. I feel like, you know, everybody has a chance, but all of this takes a lot of time, and you live through life and you grow through life, and her voice becomes louder in your head. And it's interesting because I always say God and partners. When we lose our parents, I've lost both of my parents. I feel like I'm even closer now than I ever was because I can hear them, their voices, their conversations. And when they were here, I never thought like that. I just knew I'd see them. So there is a lot to be said for, you know, staying close, keeping them in mind, letting yourself think of them. And if you have to cry, cry. You'll always miss them, but you'll learn to live with them in another way. So may God bless you and your family. And again, I can't tell you how shocked I was to hear that. It felt like it just came out of nowhere. So I wish everybody well. Today, what a fitting topic is, how do you know when God is speaking to you? And it's one of the hardest topics to talk about because people will say they want like clear-cut answers. And there are three exact things that you can pay attention to. But bigger than that is believing it. It's just believing that it can happen to you, that it will happen to you, that it does happen to you. Because God isn't a big, scary, faraway entity that we might get a grip of from time to time. He's always, always really here. And that level of purity that you hit, when you push your, and I don't want to say ego in a bad way, but ego is like keeps us busy. It makes us spin. It gets us in trouble. It makes us say things that aren't very nice. It makes us think that, you know, we deserve things we didn't get yet or earn yet, and it makes us wait for things that didn't happen yet, when all we have to do is live life and those things will happen and will come. And ego isn't good or bad. It's literally something to trip over on your way to getting to yourself. The only time ego is very unattractive is when we see people stuck in it, because in the bigger picture, our brain knows that that can happen to us too, and we don't like that thought. So we want to push that thought as far away as we can push it. But God's voice, what I hear the most, which I even wrote about, my most frequently asked question about God, are questioning whether or not it is God that we hear, or who or what we're hearing in our heads. These are telltale signs. There are telltale signs, and there always will be. And you will be not only fascinated, but after I wrote this show up yesterday in the morning, last night, I was on my way to meeting my summit partners, the two women that did the summit with me, because Mihoko, Dr. Mihoko's in town, and Christina is, you know, obviously lives here, but I haven't really seen her very much. We both got really busy for this time, and I haven't had a chance to see her, so I was really excited about going. And in the past 6 weeks of my own life, I have gotten very quiet, just quiet. I've, you know, had a hard time wanting to talk very much, even though I talk a lot and I do my show and that, but I've had quiet, like even when I'm alone after I talk to God in the morning, I wasn't even listening to my books or listening to any music or anything. I literally walked with my headphones on and nothing, no noise. And I'm really thinking things through. People are asking me a lot of questions, and I know and I have known that I need to get out not only and speak, but that I was injured, but I didn't know how to verbalize that injury because it didn't look like anything happened. But I realized something doing the work that I do. As many people that love me, a lot of people attack me, and they want things from me I can never give them. It's not possible for me to give them, but I become that focal point of their whatever's going on in them. And it's not one person. It's a great handful of people. And it's almost like somebody's, it's a verbal assault. It's a verbal bullying. It's a verbal, you know, hitting you over the head. And I'm learning now, you know, that I don't have to read every email. And if I don't know someone, but then there's also these beautiful ones. And I got caught up in this virtual world because I post, I answer emails. You know, a lot of people don't even make it to appointments because I'll just answer their email. So I'm cutting off my own nose in spite of my face and then dealing with the problems because that's my need, my love to help people. But what happened is I also went through some personal situations of somebody very close to me has a which denies it, but now is starting to come too, of lying, and lied to me quite a bit. And I didn't see it coming because they were so good at it. But I had to learn and get validated that now I know what that looks like. So it looked like the last of my at least current lessons about how people really believe their own stuff. And if it comes to me from someone who needs something from me, well, they all need something from me, which starts the whole process of maybe just seeing the world their way or, you know, lying and not even knowing they're lying because that's how they roll. But this person I knew in life. So all this is happening and I retreated. So I'm on my way and I said, you know, God, how do I meet in real life where I see people every day? People who are nice, normal, nice, like somebody who actually can see me, not what they want from me, but can see me, have a sensitivity towards me the way I do towards people. I feel like I'm hungry for that. Just hungry that in my everyday life, because what's happened to me without me noticing it was that I wanted to just take a breather and get away so that at least no one can attack. So I'm thinking this. I get to the party of, like, dinner people, and it's not like a party, but to me, in my mind, it's a party because we're just planning a party for Mihoko when she comes back in December. And we all got together, and Christina pulls out this deck of cards that Doreen Virtue, who no longer practices what she preached for years and years and years, this deck of cards, and Christina said, you know, something's going on, Nadia. I want you and, you know, Mihoko, I want you guys to pick out a card, and then I want to talk about it. So I pick out a card, and it says, join in. And I'm thinking, join in? What is join in? What does that even mean? Join in to what? And there were like two butterflies, one white and one blue. Now, I never had experience with cards, and I don't really read or do that stuff, but Christina got this as a gift, and she thought it would be fun if we played. Well, it turned out we weren't playing. That card that she read to me, literally read like from the book that this woman wrote, was exactly the conversation I had with myself in the car before I got there. Almost word for word. That was a validation. We get validated like that if you pay attention to what you're thinking. And then you will be walking in a store. You will meet somebody, because by the time you get to knowing what hurt you or what accelerated you or what makes you happy, you're in your purest moment, because now you're as honest as you could be. Yes, I started carrying all this hurt from all these people that they decided to throw at me, and I don't know what they think. Am I made of steel? I'm also a human being. How realistic is it that I can be with 15 different men and live 15 different lives? How realistic is it that I'm, you know, belong to people that I don't even know in that way? Or how realistic? And I start talking to God, because I'm like, wow, God, you know, the more people know me, it's weird. Like, I don't know how to deal with that. And God said, and this is how I recognized it. Now, first there's the validation. But let's talk about the thoughts that come to you. In a very objective voice that doesn't need anything from me, it's my instinct that, you know how we always go back to, I thought that at the beginning. God, why didn't I listen? When you listen to that voice in the beginning, at the beginning, you are walking with God on that path. When you discount that voice and you continue walking and you're trying to turn something into something it isn't, and then a year later, 6 months later, 4 months later, 2 years later, you say, I knew that at the beginning. That was too good to be true. Why didn't I listen to my instinct? Our instinct is a direct connect to God. Because instinct is completely objective. It doesn't care who the people are. It doesn't care why they're there. It just tells you, this is a great thing. This is a not so great thing. Why do you want to be here? This isn't good for you. It starts talking to you. And when you listen, even though you may not like the answer, but that answer is true, when you listen to your instinct, you have a different energy, a different power than if you didn't. It's an amazing tool to sharpen your instinct. And how do you do that? How do you want to do that? You're sitting right now, you're listening to the show, and you think, yeah, I get instinct once in a while. You don't get instinct once in a while. You get it all day long. Even down to eating something that isn't good for you. You know you're not supposed to, because you know you're not going to feel good afterwards. If you don't eat it and you walk away, what happens? You feel victorious. if you do eat it, how do you feel? You feel like you can't trust yourself. My advice to anyone who eats stuff they don't want to eat is don't buy it and bring it home. Unless you can find a way to eat it where it doesn't hurt you, like maybe portion control, or maybe at a time of day when it's not before you sleep, because you don't want to eat before you sleep, because then your body's trying to sleep and digest at the same time. Maybe you had something to do that you didn't want to do. What happens when you do it? You feel great. What happens when you don't? You feel like, oh, maybe tomorrow, and you try to, like, ease yourself out of it, but that you didn't listen to you. And ultimately, what we don't realize is when we don't listen to ourselves, it bothers us because that means we didn't listen to two voices, our own and God's. Think about that. When we do what we say we're going to do, it strengthens our belief in ourselves. And when we don't listen to ourselves, it strips away our power. Because now we just told God, hey, you know what? I'm not having a good trust day with me right now, so can you wait till tomorrow and then maybe I'll listen to you then? Think about that. It's an amazing thing how powerful, and really until this morning, actually until I'm talking to you, because for instinct, I put thoughts that come to you and dreams, because God speaks to us through our dreams. Dream theme Thursday for anyone who sent in a dream till this date. It's just another avenue of explaining to you that nothing happens for no reason and everything is not as it seems. But our minds are so colorful, are so creative, are so full. But why are they so colorful, creative, and full? So first you have the validations like I had last night. Sometimes I'm just walking with my son, with Tarek, and we're just out walking. I walk a lot. I love to walk. I love to be outside. And he'll just rattle off something to me. And I'll turn around and say, what made you say that? Well, I don't know. So what do you mean you don't know? You had to think something before that came out. And he said, no, I really don't know. And I said, well, thank you for saying that, because you just pulled a thought right out of my head. And you don't even know it or know why. But I knew. And so I listen to those thoughts. At first, I don't want to give them credence because they're very challenging thoughts and they force me to have to take action in a place that I'm not comfortable. But why else would God have to talk to me if I were already comfortable? It's because I wasn't comfortable that God's saying, hey, nudge, here I am. Let me nudge you in the right direction. But sometimes the things he says sound so great, I don't even know if I deserve them. And I have to think about that. And then I say, oh, everything but that. But that's why God's talking to me about that. Because that's what I said, everything but that. And God's saying, but that's why you're here. Do something about it. And I say, no, I can't. And God says, yes, you can, and let me give it to you another way. And then someone calls me later in the day and says the same thing. The love of the group. The radio page, everybody's suggestions. We are talking to each other all day because God is talking through us. When we say what we really think and feel, we've had instances where people took what other people think and feel and turned it around and created a tornado out of it. didn't mean these people are good or bad. But that page couldn't sustain the tornadoes. Not because anyone was good or bad or even knew that they created that. But because of the level of intuitiveness that existed on that page, we couldn't have anything interfere. It could happen everywhere else. But until we grow and learn to trust our instincts, that became a sacred spot. Not because, again, anyone is good or bad. When I'm not listening to myself, I have to pay attention to what happens to me. And a lot of times I will retreat and figure out why. I always go back to that fork in the road because validations come, and validations sometimes scare us because validations prompt action. Instinct. Pay attention to yourself today. And whatever your first thought is, because instinct speaks with an objective voice, because that is the voice of God coming to you. Why else would you have something that knows right away what to do? Why else? Because that's how God can communicate with you. Oh, you know what? That might not be a great place for me, because if I go that route, I really don't trust this surrounding. Now, wait a second. Maybe I could force that trust. Maybe I could just blindly trust. Maybe I can ask a few questions. But if those questions don't get answered and you still proceed, at the end of the day, the month, the year, you go back and say, you know what? I knew in the beginning something was off. But I wanted what I wanted so much that I made a decision to ignore that. But what happened is, as time goes on, what happens? You end up having more and more things to ignore just to sustain until you can't ignore it anymore. At one day, you have to face it. The things I've been posting, they're just coming out of me about loyalty, about lying. Because the first lies we tell are to ourselves, right? It's when we don't listen to us. So how can anyone hang on to you if you aren't hanging on to you? And then we get mad at other people for not hanging on to us because we didn't hang on to us and they were supposed to do it for us. Think about it. The last thing that Christ said today is, you know how, and I love this one. These are those turns during the day where it pushes you to do or think things that you look like. It's like an emergent curriculum. You're just walking around, you're doing your thing. And then at the last minute, you decide not to run an errand and to maybe go somewhere else and get something else done, or you just do something out of order or something you didn't even plan to do that day. And then at the end of the day, you can't imagine how your day would have went had you not done that or spoke to that person or made that last errand or whatever it is that you did. That's also God directing us. A lot of times we'll hear it on, let's say, I mean, these are extreme ones, but obviously, we are privy to that information because of the extremity of the, or the extremeness of the issue, like a plane that wasn't going to make it and it crashed, or whatever, even on 9/11, how many people came back and said, oh my God, I was supposed to be on that flight, but this happened, but that happened. Those little things that we change our minds on, going to one store instead of another, being in one area instead of another. There was a time I had planned. There was someone who helped us when we owned the pizza shop. This was a while ago, 1999. I will never forget what happened to me. I was driving to someone to give them money for work they did, even though they didn't ask us for it, because I felt like this man way overdid it and I wanted to reward him. But I didn't know the man's intentions to me. So I'm on my way, and I have my money in an envelope, and I just wanted to drop it off and leave because I knew he wouldn't take it. But he really worked hard, and I don't like when someone works and doesn't get compensated and whatever. And he was saying it was a gift, but it was too big of a gift for me to be comfortable with. And at the time, I was working two jobs, and my kids were young. And I'm driving, and I've been to that place where he works a million times. They were my clients, and he did this other work on the side. I was driving on my way there. That man's intentions must not have been good towards me in any way. On my way there, all of the sudden, I found myself on a street I didn't recognize, literally did not recognize, hitting a cul-de-sac in a neighborhood. And I thought, where am I and how did I get here? Now, this is before Google Maps. This is before our phones told us where to go, how to get there, and why. And I honestly didn't know how to get to the location I was going to. And I took that as a sign, and I never went. I never went. And later, I found out why. But the fact that I trusted my instinct, and it bothered me to not have rewarded him in some way, but his intentions weren't clear coming in. But I didn't know that because all I think of is the helping part, is the rewarding part, is the loving part. But I literally got protected from myself. Those are the times when your instinct kind of knows, but you're trying to do the right thing, whatever that is in your mind, and God literally intervenes. It's an interesting thing. Or like maybe there's a big party and you're really tired and you end up falling asleep and you miss the whole thing and you didn't go. And later you find out that it wouldn't have been in your best interest to go. Or you walk in somewhere and people think you belong there and you don't. And you end up being part of the crowd. And you're like, wow, I was just walking by and all this in. And you can't even believe it. You repeat it like a million times. You want to keep saying, I cannot believe this just happened. I cannot believe I ran into this person or I met this person and I feel so connected. And you just, it just comes out of nowhere. I met a woman through a car accident. We were driving. I wasn't actually. Sterling and the kids were in the car. Her employee, her husband's employee, hit the back of our car. So Sterling calls me. I run to the scene. It wasn't far from our house. And her employee called her, and she ran to the scene. It wasn't a big accident. But her and I met. The accident became secondary. Who cared? We were going to take care of those details. Those details didn't matter. But me and Carol met, and we became friends. She ended up being the woman who took the picture that's on Origins of Truth, on the book of me. And I met her in a car accident. Amazing, those things. So validations, trusting your instinct, not only trusting it, listening to it, taking action, and not thinking there is a coincidence. There are no mistakes. It's all happening to you for a reason. My examples might not even be, you know, near how big yours are, or they may sound bigger because I'm saying them, but you have them too. God is on your side always. And when we listen to that voice that speaks objectively to us or validates us or pushes us to do this instead of that, listen and listen. I have 10 seconds. I will see you tomorrow. I love you guys so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show.